One of the most stubborn misconceptions about the church is that it exists simply to promote a spiritualized view of life. That it preaches a God who is distant, up in the clouds. A God who perhaps revels in the heroic exploits of the saints of long ago, like Francis of Assisi or Joan of Arc, but who is remote from the ordinary concerns of our life. Especially the messier parts of our life. Our readings this evening, however, tell us just how off the mark such a notion is. Both the story of the dispirited prophet Elijah and Jesus' sermon about the bread of life assure us that God is intensely interested, always has been, always will be, in the nitty-gritty of our day-to-day life. In the Gospel, Jesus remarks, "Whoever believes in me already has life." Later, in St. John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I have come that you may live and live fully." That's God's deepest desire for us. God's dream is that we live rich, full, and happy lives. But if this is God's deepest desire for us, well, might you wonder why life for many people seems so hard. If God desires these wonderful things for us, why does God allow people who we love to suffer pain and illness? If God is so good, why do so many people struggle under crushing burdens of anxiety and doubt? Isn't God all-powerful? Couldn't God change things for the better with a snap of his finger? I honestly don't know why God does not set things right, but I suspect that it has to do with his desire that we live full lives. Life, as you know, is not simply one blissful moment after another. Life is punctuated with disappointments and disillusions as well. Although we don't usually look forward to crises in our life, they often put us in touch with our humanity again. Often, for instance, during crises, we rediscover the care and support of family and friends. Crises also ground us in the reality that we are not supermen and superwomen. We are limited human beings. Most importantly, crises offer the possibility of meeting God in a new and deeper way. I don't know why God doesn't come and set things right, but I do know that God is present and intimately concerned about every facet of our life. In the first reading, we hear the story of Elijah. This prophet had given his whole life over to serving God. Because he was there for God, he expected that God would be there for him too. Instead, when Elijah encountered a string of disappointments and failures, he became discouraged and depressed. In his desperation, he rebukes God, saying, "Leave me alone, I cannot go on. Just let me die in peace." Nonetheless, God sends to Elijah an angel with a wheat cake and a jug of water. Simple gifts, companionship, and a bit of food. But these humble gifts refreshed Elijah and strengthened him enough so that he could continue his journey. God offered Elijah no quick fix, no easy solution, no cheap grace. Instead, he simply offered to accompany Elijah, come whatever may. In the Gospel, God's promise grows stronger and more intimate. God no longer sends a mere angel with wheat cakes. He sends his only son. Jesus says, "I am the living bread." In other words, Jesus himself becomes both our companion and the food that strengthens us on the journey. And he assures us that he will be with us all along the way, through all of life's joys and all of life's trials. Although the Eucharist is the preeminent way by which God refreshes and strengthens us, ironically, many of the people who stand in greatest need of God's reassuring love and strength do not come forward to receive communion. They come to Mass, but they feel unworthy, or they are made to feel unworthy to receive the Eucharist. I think it is to them especially that God urges this evening's gospel message. I have come that you may have life and have life to the full. If you have any doubt about whether the Eucharist is for you, listen closely in a few moments as I pray the words of consecration. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body which is given up for you. Take this cup, all of you, and drink from it, for this is my blood poured out for you. If you still feel that the invitation is not for you, it's my job to remind you that there is no closed door that God cannot open again. If you think that you're the exception to this rule and you need to hear this invitation personally, come and talk to me.